Morning. It's awesome to have an opportunity to share the word, and I appreciate that opportunity and the faith that Pastor shows in me and the ability to share the word of God and lessons. There's a couple of really pointed lessons that I was able to glean from this lesson, but I also wanted to just a glance at. We've been learning a lot about Daniel and the experiences that he and the other Hebrew children learned, and we always call them children. I don't know why we always call them children. They weren't children when they interacted in scriptures, but I guess I'm just entrenched back in, you know, Sunday school downstairs. But the young men that were pulled out of the Jewish nation and made to be slaves and participants there in Babylon. And in our the whole overlook of the lessons for this quarter are determining God's purpose and plan. Do you like to know what the purpose of something is? Why are we doing this? What is happening? And that there's a plan that God has in place. We're going to look at a couple of questions today as we go through the lesson. The first question we will look at is, in what way are we like these holy vessels? I haven't told you what the lesson is yet, but we're going to talk about the holy lesson, the holy vessels. And then, can you remember God's mercy and tolerance toward you before you surrendered to Him? That's another question we're going to look at. And then, very applicable to right now, how can we develop our Christian character no matter what environment we find ourselves in? And aren't we in an environment? And how can we be Christians in this environment? I looked at the book of Daniel, and this happens to be the last lesson that we're going to be talking about Daniel in. But we've already talked about chapter 1, the beginning of captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar's, the second lesson was on Nebuchadnezzar's vision, the great statue, and then the fact that they were required to bow down and how they didn't, and the fiery furnace came into play, and that we know that story. But if you get into the middle of the book of Daniel, you find out that it doesn't follow consecutive order anymore for a little while. Last week we talked about, Brother Mike talked about the second dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And that he had been in that vision, a great tree, and he was cut down and humbled. Now we're going to talk about chapter 5 today, but it's not consecutive. In consecutive order, and if you were reading in a chronological Bible, which happens to be my Bible reading for this year, and I looked at it and I thought, wow, because chronologically you read Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, and before you get into Daniel, you've been reading in Jeremiah, Chronicles, and Kings, and hopping back and forth in all of those. And then after the third chapter, you go into Jeremiah, you go into Ezekiel, you go into Kings, you go into Chronicles and Lamentations and Obadiah. Lots of things happened. And then you go into chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar is laid low, and he recognizes that is the one true God. The God of Daniel is the one true God. Do a little more of Ezekiel, and then you go chapter 7, chapter 8. Chapter 5, we're going to talk about that today. Chapter 6, chapter 9. And then you deal with Chronicles and Ezra, and then 10, 11, and 12, and then Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, Nehemiah, and Malachi, and that's the end of the Old Testament. So Daniel had a lot of contemporaries. that he was dealing with, and a lot of things that happened in Scripture or was recorded in Scripture that happened during that time. But our lesson today is the handwriting on the wall. So that means you already know what I'm talking about, right? You know that story. You've heard about Daniel being called in to interpret. Big party going on. Handwriting on the wall. The focus thought is because God will judge unrighteousness. We must choose to live righteously. The focus verse, Daniel 5 and 29. Then Daniel commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. If you have looked at this chapter or will look at this chapter, you will find several verses ahead of this focus verse that Daniel had been promised that, and he said, oh no, just forget that. I don't care anything about that. But Belshazzar did have the foresight to go ahead and do what he promised. He had at least that much integrity. As we find that Belshazzar did what he wanted to do. He was really only interested in what was going on in his life and not the lives of his constituents, those that he ruled in Babylon. And he didn't pay attention to what had happened in the past in Babylon. He didn't remember that Daniel was there. He didn't remember what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar in the visions that had happened there. How many people like lighthouses? They're really awesome, aren't they? Ancient lighthouses were just little enclosures, maybe metal or stone, built up like we would build a fire pit in the backyard. But they were on the coast on a hill, and they just built a big fire in them. And what was the purpose of that fire? The purpose of that fire was to make sure that that boat knew which way to go so that it wouldn't run ashore and break up. So a lighthouse has a purpose. And over the years, they've become great edifices, from just basically a fire pit to these huge edifices. And there's lots of different kinds. And they're I find them fascinating to see them. Now, I'm not, that's about as far as I go as far as being nautically inclined. Get me on the ocean, and I will turn green very quickly. And it doesn't take very much to be me for me to be leaning over the side, and you know. So me being nautically inclined, no, I'm not a real big ocean goer. I think the ocean's awesome, and I'll put my feet in it. And I love to watch it crash on the waves, and I like the lighthouses, but that's as far as I want to go. But Daniel was an example of a light. Matthew 5 and 14, Jesus referred to us as the light of the world. You remember the Sunday school song? We're a light, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't let anything, Satan is the song, but don't let Satan blow it out. Daniel was a light. And he did not hide under a bushel. He allowed himself to be set up And God had purposed that in the life of Daniel. Unlike some of the other prophets that we read about in Scripture, that the Word says that I knew you before you were born. I knew you when you were formed in the womb. We don't hear that about Daniel. But Daniel was upright, and he followed the purpose and plan of God in his life, even though it may not have been, I can almost guarantee you it wasn't what he had planned. As a little boy, coming into being a young man, I'm sure he had great plans of what he was going to do around Jerusalem and what, you know, what he was going to do for the kingdom of God and what he was going to do for his people. And that was all ripped away from him. And now I need to find another plan. And in his mind, God, help me find another plan. What is your plan for me now? We read in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 starts with Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. Looking at history, we know that this is the last king of Babylon. And before we end this lesson today, we will know that it's definitely the last king of Babylon. Because things are brewing in the background. And isn't it amazing that as king of Babylon, he is totally oblivious to what's happening around his kingdom and probably inside of his kingdom? And what is he doing? He is having a great feast for 1,000 of his lords. They drank wine in the presence of the 1,000, and while he tasted the wine, and I'm reading out of the New King James if it's a little different than what you have with you. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels. What gold and silver vessels? Not just any gold and silver vessels. Which his father, now whether it was his actual father or just in the, you know, lineage of him, you get a little bit of a different picture depending on what you're looking at. But which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple. These weren't just ordinary gold and silver vessels. They had been formed specifically to the exact dimensions and specifications that God had said, Moses, this is how they're going to be made. And then more had been made under the direction of David and Solomon getting ready for, they were specific. There was a specific purpose for these vessels. But he had taken them from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines may drink from them. To Belshazzar, they were nothing more than junk in a closet. Little did he know that this was the last mistake he would make. They drank from them, and not only did they didn't just drink from them, but they toasted and gave honor to the gods that they were used to serving. The lessons made reference to the gods of silver and the gods of gold and whatever gods they served, that's who they were using these vessels that they were drinking out of, desecrating them. to worship images and thoughts and ideas that did not bring honor to God, and they had been dedicated to God. What does that thought of those vessels, going to our first question, in what way are we like these holy vessels? Those vessels were made specifically by design from the direction of God, and they had a specific purpose. So how is that like us? Do you have a special purpose, Sister Sherry? Yes, we can find ourselves in trouble. He chose you. He chose you before anyone would have thought you were choosable. Okay, now I'll stop looking at you all and I'll just look at myself. I can guarantee you that when God chose me, I was not choosable. But he wanted me and he had a purpose for me. And he wanted you, each and every one of you, and he has picked you out for a purpose. And it, just like the vessels that belonged in the temple and were dedicated to the service of the temple, God chose us, and he wants us to be dedicated to his purpose and to the plan that he has for our lives. And if we don't allow that to happen, I don't think we're any different than Belshazzar ignoring the purpose of those items. All of those at the feast showed disrespect to the God of heaven. And it was just, well, as you read the book of Daniel, the last verse of Daniel chapter 4 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice, and who And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." We can't be high and mighty in ourselves. We dishonor God when we are selfish, when we lift ourselves up. When we say, "Oh, I can do this. I've got this under control. I can take care of it." The unholy cannot see value in holy things. As children of God, I mean, we have a culture. We have a way that we live. We have a way that we act. We have things that we would rather do things that we absolutely will not do. So we have a way of living that comes out of this book. Yes, I know some of it is cultural. Some of it is just what we've learned how to do. I can think of all kinds of things that I have just learned how to do. I don't even think about them anymore. I get up and I just do them. That's the way I am. But I have dedicated those things in my life to God. And so to me, they are in service to God. And they're holy. Because I have dedicated them to God. But people can look at me and say, what on earth? Really? You just can't do that? You mean you don't want to do that? No, I don't. Our language doesn't fit in. Our actions don't fit in. And when we're dedicated to living for God, those around us cannot recognize holy. They think we're strange. They may not want to have anything to do with us. But you know what we need to do? We need to love them. We don't have to like anything. But we need to love them. The queen, in verse 10. Never does indicate that I could see that she's queen because she's mother or queen because she's wife. I don't know. But it does sort of indicate that she knew, well, it absolutely indicates that she knew what had happened. Yeah. However many years had passed, she knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 10, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. She heard what was happening. You see, let's go back to verse 5. This is what happened. As they drank the wine and desecrated the vessels, verse 5, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand. We've seen images of that. There's been paintings and drawings and all kinds of things where we have seen that image. I don't know what I would have done. I am pretty sure I wouldn't have done anything much different than what happened to Belshazzar. But this hand comes out of nowhere, directly across from the candlestick. You can't miss it. It's not in a shadow. It's not behind a palm tree. It's right there in front of them. Appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Just you know, whatever. Off the wrist. Maybe it was just the fingers. I don't know what it was. But it was just the image of a man's hand writing on the wall. And look what happened. Then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hips were loosed and his knees knocked against each other. I think he was scared. I think he was terrified. He had no idea what to do. And he called for all the wise men. That's happened before, right? Nebuchadnezzar called for them all. And Daniel didn't come at that beckoning. And the queen says in verse 10, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, in case you forgot who I'm talking about, made him chief of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel, isn't that interesting that she calls him Daniel? And he will give you the interpretation. I told you there were two things that really stood out to me when I was looking at this lesson, and this is one of them. The queen, who really didn't know anything about Daniel other than he had been set up by Nebuchadnezzar to be head over, and not because he was anything special in their eyes, but because he had earned that spot in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. Because he was able to know the dream, interpret the dream two times that were recorded. But Belshazzar didn't know. Didn't recognize. He didn't have a clue. But the queen recognized who Daniel really was. What God had purposed in Daniel's life. And what God was able to do with Daniel's life. I want to make sure that when people look at my life, my everyday, day-to-day, Monday through Friday life, maybe Monday through Saturday. Because if we're not careful, sometimes we can be different on Sunday. Now, it's important to be different on Sunday. It's important to dress up and be in our best, whatever that is, to be in our best and be in the house of God and worship him and give him everything. But every part of our life should be very similar. And so I want to make sure that anyone that looks at my life about midday through Monday, and it's been a Monday, can still say something about my character. Daniel had a character that you could count on it. You knew exactly who Daniel was going to be whenever you saw him. There was no question. He was always the same. He was living the way God wanted him to live all the time. And that's what he wants from us. Oops. I didn't think I'd see anybody I knew. Now, no, this isn't what I wear every day of the week. But do you know what I'm saying? Daniel was predictable. And I believe God wants us to be predictable. How are we going to be asked questions like, how can you do this? How are you able to stand what you're going through? We can stand it because God is in charge. We can go through this because God is in charge. It didn't seem to matter what was going on in Daniel's life and what was going on around him. He wasn't shocked at all to hear about a hand writing on the wall. Okay. He had already seen and interpreted the vision that was many, at least in the book of Daniel, we see three of the kingdoms that were depicted in that statue. Come and go. Come and go. And leading into the third. Just in one book, in Daniel's life, he saw that happen. The same. God wants us to be steadfast in him. It's not that we're not human. It's not that we don't struggle. It's not that our hearts don't break. But we can take that to him and he can help us in those times. You see, something was happening in Belshazzar's life. Those words that were written. Oh, I need to say this one more thing before I go on. God does a lot of things. Like, well, he did at least one time, handwriting on the wall. He spoke through a donkey. He's done some incredible things that really get attention. But God doesn't do those types of things. He doesn't perform miracles to put on a show. And miracles are not to be paraded around. They're to show the glory of what God can do. Thursday night, Sister Seagraves and Brother Andrew Seagraves talked about a miracle that happened in his mother's life. In a small space of time, her lung is made whole again. That's incredible. But God did that for his glory, not to parade around like a circus show. You tell that happening in some audiences, and it's a circus act. But God wants glory for what he does in our lives. Psalm 145 and 17, just real quickly, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. His works are to show his holiness. Yes, God still does perform things that would shock us, surprise us. It's awesome, but it's not a show. Belshazzar is about to learn that God will not tolerate disrespect and pride forever. That second question I mentioned, can you remember God's mercy and tolerance toward you before you surrendered to him? God put up with a lot from me. I'm sure you have your own story. As my husband would say, when you thought you were all that in a bag of chips. I got this. I can do this. I can promise you none of you would have recognized me. When God said, I choose her. The handwriting on the wall, four words. He uses one of them twice, meeny, meeny, in verse 25, Daniel chapter 5, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. And Daniel didn't have any problems interpreting. He knew exactly what that said. To sum it up, meany is like this. It's weighing. God has weighed out your life. How does it weigh? He's weighed it. Actually, forgive me, I got them confused. Meany is your days have been numbered. Your days have been numbered. This is it. I know just exactly how many days. God knows how many days we have too. But you know what's really awesome about what God knows about us? He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows exactly what's happening in our lives. And the incredible thing is when we have dedicated our lives to God, He wants to be involved in every bit of it. Well, I don't want God involved in every bit of it. Sometimes we could feel that way. I don't want God to know that about me. I don't want God to see that. Kind of like Lily Grace running around behind the couch. I know these two know what I'm talking about, and I won't say anymore. What are you doing, Lily? I don't want you to know what I'm doing. No, that isn't what she says. She tells you what she's doing. We think that we can run around and hide behind the couch. And God is not going to see what we're doing. One of mine did that too. David ran around and hid behind the couch a lot. And you would find his hiding spots everywhere. He had a thing about, I don't know, he must have felt deprived. You would find his stashes everywhere. His favorite candy would be in the dresser drawer. Didn't matter who it had originally belonged to. If it laid there for more than 5 minutes, oh, they must not want it. His days had been numbered. Tekel, his actions had been weighed. And then in verse 28, instead of upharsin, it says pears. Your kingdom has been divided. Now remember I said he had no idea what was going on outside of that party. He was just interested in having a grand time with those that he wanted to impress. Desecrating the things of God. And little did he know that that very day was it. We don't know when our last day is. But it behooves us to live every single day like it's our last day. And make sure that what we're doing is good with him. God will judge those who refuse his help and mercy. Nebuchadnezzar was in the prime of his kingdom. He was just going up and up and up. When God said, that's enough. But God did see something in Nebuchadnezzar, because what happens to Belshazzar did not happen to Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he does, in what we can read in Scripture, fall off the scene. But we did read the last verse. And he recognized God and who God was. In verse 29, again, this focused verse, then Belshazzar gave the command. He did have a little bit of integrity. And they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. There was a plan in place, a plan that Belshazzar had no idea was happening. And the Medes came in and took his life that very night. The interpretation did come true right after it was given. Did you read the cultural connection? Anybody? Before we came? It's all right. I'm not going to hold you accountable. I'll help you. You see, Daniel wasn't the only one that predicted. Daniel made a lot of predictions. You read the rest of the book of Daniel, and there's a lot of things that Daniel heard about and saw about. And in chapter 12, Michael says, listen, you just saw a bunch of stuff. I want you to lock it up. Because you can't even talk about it. God can give us a look into the future. And we may not be supposed to say anything about it, depending on how God wants it to be treated. But the cultural connection, God shows what's happening to his people. I was not aware of this. But it was on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, November 19th, 1963. Pastor Ben Pemberton, had a vision. And he told the congregation in this prayer meeting that all I can tell you is there's going to be blood in the streets. And what happens is going to turn this country upside down. Now, if you know your history, you know what was about to happen. Just a matter of 3 days later, JFK was assassinated, and there was blood everywhere. And you can read about the history. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can see the dress. That was covered in blood. That she insisted on wearing that whole day into the next day. She wouldn't take it off. But this, FBI and Secret Service heard about that prediction. How they heard about it, I don't know. This it doesn't say anything more than that they knew about it. And the FBI came to that church in St. Louis. And they wanted to know, where did he get his inside information? They were going to solve the problem. But Pastor Ben had passed away in those 3 days. Why did God do that? I don't know why God did that. But he was showing what he was capable of. He was a light, Pastor Ben Pemberton. Daniel was a light. And we are light in the kingdom of God. Lord bless you. We'll have service in about 10 minutes. Thank you.